Chapter 1. Dr. Stephen Caron's lifeless body hung in his office, dealing a severe blow to the crusade against Al's Kira Pharmaceuticals that he agreed to join 1 week earlier. He had been a principal investigator of Al's Kira's clinical trials for the Recalumin vaccine, now successfully marketed to tens of millions worldwide as a cure for Alzheimer's and a preventative for those carrying the Alzheimer's gene. Al's Kira had tapped Dr. Caron as their regional investigator for Central Maine. Caron, a neurologist a few years removed from medical school, was eager to grow his practice. So eager that he gladly accepted Al's Kira's support to grow his practice from an office in Campion to outreach clinics in Ramsey, Namaho, and Ferrisport. Dr. Caron had met with Jackie Denno, Kurt Barnes, and District Attorney Will Wideman at the Ferrisport Inn and formed the Table of Four. As they learned at that meeting, Dr. Caron's eagerness and Al's Kira's greed resulted in some shady financial arrangements, as well as some less-than-professional behavior on Dr. Caron's part. Dr. Caron had revealed Al's Kira's unconventional research protocols that he claimed kept harmful data out of Al's Kira's clinical trials, thereby assuring their vaccine's approval. At the meeting, a repentant Dr. Caron had pledged his desire to stop living a lie and, regardless of the cost, joined the group bent on exposing and stopping the Al's Kira juggernaut. Now, however, he was dead. Rebecca Klatz, Dr. Caron's office manager, was the first to find him. Pulling into the parking lot an hour before the office opened, she was surprised to see his red BMW. Dr. Caron was perpetually late and never early. Rebecca immediately grew concerned by his uncharacteristic punctuality.
"What's this, Dr. Caron? Turning over a new leaf?"
Rebecca called out as she walked down the hall and stuck her head into Dr. Caron's office. There was no one in the office or nearby to hear her screams. The sight of his pale body, his blue protruding tongue, and the smell of urine and feces assaulted her senses in a way that would repeatedly haunt her in the coming months. Stumbling out of the office and gagging, she made it to a phone and called 911.
911, what's your emergency?
Before she could mouth the words, Rebecca vomited. The 911 operator read the address on her screen, and hearing the caller vomiting, responded,
"Are you sick? Do you want me to send an ambulance?"
Finally done depositing her half-digested breakfast on the office floor, Rebecca tried to cough out the address.
"Ma'am, I have your address. Do you want me to send an ambulance?"
"Yes!"
"Are you choking?"
Finally regaining her voice, Rebecca nearly screamed,
"No, it's not for me. Dr. Caron has hung himself. Send someone now."
"An ambulance and the police are already on the way, ma'am. Have you cut the body down?"
"No, I can't even look at it."
Unable to believe she was even asking her that question.
"Is he dead, or do you think he can be saved?"
"Why are you asking me so many questions? Send the fucking ambulance."
"Ma'am, the ambulance is on the way. Try to relax. I'm just trying to help you save him if you think he can be saved."
"His tongue is sticking out and he's white except for his blue tongue. There are piss and shit all over the place. He's fucking dead. Do you understand?"
"I understand, ma'am. Try to calm down. I was just trying to help. The ambulance and police should be there shortly."
While the record would show that it only took 8 minutes for the ambulance to arrive after 911 received Rebecca's call, it seemed like 8 hours to her. The EMTs and the police arrived simultaneously, and seeing the scene agreed that no rescue was possible. The police approached Rebecca.
"Ma'am, we'd like to ask you some questions."
Rebecca, struggling to maintain her composure, said,
"I just found him this way."
"I understand, but we need to investigate whether he committed suicide or if foul play may be involved."
The officer's suggestion that this may be something other than a suicide sent Rebecca's mind reeling.
"Is he depressed or more stressed recently? Suffer any major disappointment? Or did his behavior change radically in the last few days or weeks?"
"Not that I'm aware of. He's been the same old Dr. Caron. If anything, he has seemed less stressed lately."
"Do you know if anyone was mad at him? Any angry patients or family members who may have threatened him? Maybe someone in the office who may have been mad at him or someone who was recently fired?"
No, Dr. Charon's patients loved him. He bent over backward for his patients.